or study this afternoon, I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. We're in John Leonard's book, Get Real, and talking about evangelism. And I said that the title of the chapter that we started to consider last week was Party Evangelism. And the background to that is that we looked at what the Bible says about our relationship to God, and that that God calls us into a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. There's an individual aspect to that, but that there is also a community aspect to that, that Christ also calls us into a relationship with the body, which is the church. So we looked a lot at the biblical passages that speak to the community aspect of the church, not just the individual aspect. I'd like to go on today and to think about some practical implications from that. I hope that you would see these fitting together. We read many of the scriptures that I'll refer to today, I don't want you to divorce this lesson from last ones and think there's no scriptural background to this. So Leonard makes some observations about Western culture and the really fierce individualistic approach to life in general and to the Christian life that flavors our approach to Christ and the gospel and the church. And I would agree with Leonard in this that I do think that this is a point of Western Christianity where we have really narrowed the focus of the Christian experience to me and God, to our impoverishment. We narrow it, and in narrowing it, we cut off some really wonderful things that happen in the context of the Christian life. So, some of that narrowing comes through in the concept that I began to talk about last week of a modern mentality towards the church itself. And I'll give one and then invite you to fill it out a little bit. So a very radical individualistic approach towards the Christian life says of the church that it's not necessary. So with that heading, I'll invite you to fill that in. What have your observations been, or examples of that taking place that you've seen?
I've seen a video for one church where the preacher basically said, if you're a Christian, we don't want you here anymore because we're just here to proclaim the gospel to people who haven't heard it yet. So, Christian, you're good already. We're not here for you. Just go on somewhere else.
Yeah. I've read about that that approach. Yeah. What else?
It seems like a lot of Christians, at least in the U.S., seem to think that church membership is optional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be a member of church because I'm a Christian, which is kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah.
You're in the family of God.
Yeah.
Or if you're in the body, if you have a part cut off, it's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures all break down.
Yeah. In that case, they emphasize their own personal relationship with Christ, but then they are cut off from the rest of the body, it seems like, yeah.
And in doing so, they insult the Spirit of God because they don't recognize it in anybody else.
Dan.
Through a phase like this, when I was in college, I think it was basically right before I came to this congregation, and Many of you remember, I was the dude with the earring, the candy earring, and freaked out all the kids. Sam is bought over now. I think Sam was about ready to he could not figure out what to do with this guy coming in the door. But no, I was involved in a parachurch ministry, the Navigators, which is good ministry. A lot of discipling going on there, and had a Bible study. And that's actually where I started examining the scriptures even more closely and seeing the Reformed, the truth in there of doctrines of grace and so on. I still had I don't know exactly what I was thinking, honestly, but I think it was along the lines of, well, if the Christian life is about studying God's Word, knowing God's Word more, maybe hearing messages about it or hearing teaching about it, which, I've got Sproul, the internet did actually get back. not that one. I've got these other ways that I can hear it, I think I had some concept that we should sing or we should worship. I don't know that my understanding was nearly good enough on what the real need for worship and so on, but we should do that. Well, I'm doing some of that in Navigator meetings. And by the way, I'm not saying that the Navigators were encouraging this kind of thing. This is not, I think they would have disagreed with this sort of thing. So I kind of wondered if maybe, that's my church. I'll continue to be in Bible study, and that's good, and then I'll see some other Christians, and that seems like a good thing, but I'll study God's Word, and I'll be memorizing it and growing more in it, and that's what God wants. So I think I kind of was tempted for a while to think, well, that's it, that's the Christian life, I'm good. And I think maybe a lot of people have that same sort of thinking going on.
And I would agree with Dan. I think there's kind of an extreme. I think one extreme is you have the people, and we certainly know families like this, that they've just removed themselves from the church.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be a part of the institutional church. And you've seen this, I think, with the house church movement and stuff popping up. But you've got that, which is obviously dangerous. But then there's kind of in between, I think, there's kind of what you're talking about, this parachurch, and there's many of those organizations out there, and I think a lot of them have sprung up because of the church's failure to really be the church. And so I'm kind of torn with those, because there's no doubt there's good being done, but what happens a lot of times is that does become, talk to a lot of people where, really the Christian life is what happens Monday through Saturday. And the church, whereas it's important, it's not that important. I hear that a lot. Well, yeah, you go to church. I'll make a comment or something about the church or being under the whatever it may be. But I think the church can be minimalized.
Yeah.
So both of them, I think, are dangerous.
Good. This is part of the environment that we're in, and Leonard interacts with it because of the influence that has on the work of evangelism and gospel ministry. What you think about the church is going to influence your invitation or influence the work that you do to tell others about Jesus Christ. So, for instance, it changes. Or it affects why you go to church, and if you are only focused on yourself, you go to church for what is in it for me? What am I going to get out of church today? Rather than based on our study of the scriptures last week of seeing the fact that God has called us into fellowship with one another, and that there's grace that is given to us in the context of the one another's, and that I have opportunity to bless you, there's a sense in which there's a shift then in why you go to church that is God-focused and other-focused in the proper way of how can I serve the Lord and how can I serve others, which is very different than that mentality of what's in it for me, what can I get out of it. Leonard actually mentions what you mentioned, Mike, that it changes how we think about being a Christian from a narrow idea, and here's, I think, one of the failings of the church, is that it has narrowed the Christian life down to one day a week, and then everybody can see that the way this person acts at church is all holy, but then Monday through Saturday is completely different. It's like, what's up with that? And instead, to see the Christian life as all through the week, and is an expression of Christian faith that goes all through the week. And if you're following the progression, it changes how we think of evangelism. If you think the church is a chore, if you think it's an option, if you think it's full of hypocrites, then imagine inviting somebody to that. I kind of hate to say it, but this group over here meets on Sundays, and I'm part of it. And would you like to come with me? I'm kind of embarrassed to say I'm part of this really weird group, and it does affect how you practice evangelism. So here's where his use of the term party comes in. Imagine instead inviting people to a banquet. I can't remember did I close last week by saying how is this party evangelism, and to think about that.
Yes.
So what did you come up with? How is a good view of the church party evangelism?
Prefiguring of coming to the marriage feast of Christ.
Sure, that's good theology. He has it down a little. He has it really simple.
Something you're excited about.
Yeah, so something that you're excited about, something that is there's a richness to it rather than a chore or a faulty group. By the way, we are a faulty group. We are hypocrites. Come with me. I got to give his illustration here. So here's what people seemingly think about going to church. They compare it to going to a youth rally. The food that is put out are cheap hot dogs, weak punch, and some crackers, and an invitation to that, as opposed to an invitation to a banquet, an invitation to our fellowship lunches, our birthday Sunday. Hey, there we go. Our fellowship lunch with the birthday cakes. There's a richness to what we invite people to. And there's a joy in inviting people to that.
How do you respond, though? I mean, the church in general, in order to get people to come, I feel like they think we have to create more programs. But shouldn't it be the joy that we get to come and worship God and get to hear His words preached? So how do you balance that one perception? Well, the only way we're going to get people to come is if we offer A, B, and C. And we want you to come and hear God's word and have an impact on your life.
Answer to that would be that the Christian life is not just what happens on Sunday, and that rather than programs, what Leonard is suggesting and what I think is really good for us to think about is rather than programs, how can we as members of this community be a blessing to those around us? And to see that as genuine gospel labor. I'll just read a quote that he has here. When you use your gifts to grace believers, we call that edification. When you use your gifts to grace non-believers, when you pour out God's grace on them, we call that evangelism. Your job, along with other believers, is to grace the socks off non-believers around you. So he's going to get into this in coming chapters of how not that one day a week, but you in the midst of your community have an opportunity to use how God has made you in a normal, grace-filled way to bless the socks off of individuals. That's not a program. That's you engaging with the world around you in a purposeful way. Right, Stephanie.
Just a couple of thoughts with your party. It's like one thing that also goes to the Valentine's dance every year, and they think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan goes and he loves it because he's with the girls, but it's always like, you know, food, just cheap cookies, and very sweet punch and all this. But the girls think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I do think sometimes you have to be mature enough to appreciate the banquet, to be ready for a church more like ours. So bringing people in, they come and they're just like, where's the hot dogs? Cheetos, come on. Cupcakes. So it's hard for them to appreciate the banquet.
It is. And I'll close with this. I had a discussion once with one of the pastors in our denomination that talks about front door evangelism and side door evangelism. Front door evangelism is the invitation to come here, and that's in a sense the to where we meet, to the worship service, and that's the first experience that they have. And that's good and appropriate. We're committed to the preaching of God's word as being effective means to save sinners. So we continue to invite people to come and to enjoy that banquet and believe that as they taste it, they'll begin to say, oh wow, this really does taste good. Where have you been all my life? Side door has in mind again that church and evangelism isn't just one day a week. That there's all of this other thing stuff that's happening. So as you interact with your neighbors, and you provide meals when they're sick, they're getting to see Christ in you, and they're coming to taste that banquet, and they're like, wow, what is the reason for the hope that's in you? And so rather than the front door worship service is the first event, they are experiencing Christ and experiencing the body life through you as a believer. And when you visit them in their sickness or their grief, when you celebrate holidays with them, when you mow their yard, when other things that are just interacting with them, that's an aspect of evangelism that takes in mind the holistic aspect of not just you and Christ, but you and a body and a community. I'm afraid I've gone a little over today, so I'm sorry for that. We didn't take time to share our requests. But I would invite you that as you have requests, to just post them onto the SRPC net this week, and we will share those requests together that way. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for the ways in which you have blessed us so richly in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that as you have given rich grace to us, that we as a body would show that and share that with each other, and that there would also be an overflowing of that and an intentional overflowing of that to the community around us. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the evangelistic light in our congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.